On tonight's show, we have something very special to talk about, two major things that affect sports and our world as a whole.
And it's a big discussion with a lot to cover, so we split it up into two parts. Tonight, we're going to discuss the COVID-19 pandemic, and then later this weekend, we'll discuss the institutional racism in our country.
We brought in Coach Terry Fowler and Coach Jada Williams, two phenomenal coaches on and off of the court. Best way to say it, leaders.
So we're going to start by discussing something that affected them at the end of last season and has followed them all the way up into now preparing for this upcoming season, the COVID-19 pandemic.
Let's get into it. So the first thing, we'll just dive right in for both of you guys. What has life been like since they cut off all sports basically back in March? Is there a going through the motions through all this? What has life been like for you guys as head coaches?
Ladies first.
Okay. I think every coach in America will tell you we probably have worked harder during the pandemic than prior to. You know, we're responsible for making sure our student athletes are okay. We've been recruiting our butts off. We're Zoomed out, keeping up with the NCAA and all of their changes that they have, keeping up with our jobs, compliance, how things are changing on and off our campus. The reality is none of us have had the opportunity to have a vacation yet because we're still working so much. You know, we're up at 8 a.m. A lot of times we're doing Zooms, recruiting all the way until the night hours. We got our families with us who need attention as well. And so, you know, I feel like we've had the beautiful luxury of working from home, but it's a lot more intense, especially being that you're not in the office. There's not a ton of distractions in terms of student athletes and people coming in and out. And so you're from one meeting, to the next phone call, to the next. So it's been incredibly busy, but I would be a lie to say I'm not blessed. I've been fortunate to be healthy and my family to be healthy during this time. And we're fortunate to continue to do a job we love. And so that's what it's been like during this time.
Hey, what about you?
Yeah, I would agree with what Coach said. It really has been. I feel like more work because when you're in the office, you have the interaction with your kids. They're coming back and forth. So some of those meetings happen organically. With your staff, they happen organically. You're just talking. Well, now it's, okay, here's a head coach's meeting on a Zoom. Well, now I need to disseminate that information to my staff. You know, I've got to talk to my strength and conditioning coach, the athletic trainer, academic advisor. So you're making multiple phone calls where a lot of times I'm just walking around campus and I can stop by and see different people. And again, like Coach said, it is. It's 8 o'clock in the morning. And next thing you know, look up, it's 6 o'clock. I mean, and for me, look, I love breaking bread and I love lunch. I look up, it's 2 o'clock and I hadn't eaten lunch. And so it has been. But at the same time, we've just been blessed, like Coach said, about our families. You know, I've got a granddaughter. I've got to just spend so much time with her during this time as well, and my family. But it has been different. I mean, it has been so many multifacets to try to manage. You know, when the kids are all gone and you're trying to stay on top of them about class, it's been really challenging.
It has. It was a different type of challenge. I know the perception is everyone's just got their feet kicked up, but that is not a reality, especially, you know, you go down Coach's Twitter, he's got boom, another recruit every 5 minutes. And I've got to make sure we keep up so that we can stay competitive in the league. So, you know, it's been ongoing. And you know, hopefully things open up by August, September, where we have the coaching shutdown. I think all coaches would say, it would be nice to be able to have things normal and be able to take a break away and not necessarily have any of this to have to do, you know?
What was it like for you guys when, I mean, it was a crazy 48, 72 hours when we were in the middle of conference tournaments, when, or starting them at least, and some of it was really close. What was it like for you guys to have to go into that locker room and say, we aren't going back out and we don't have it, or we aren't going out? And I mean, you got seniors in that room. And at that time, you didn't know, was that going to be their last chance? How did you guys, I'm sure you guys have never encountered anything like that. How did you guys approach that situation?
That was the most heartbreaking conversation that I have ever had to have in my career as a head coach. You know, as coach knows, us getting to that point, them getting to that point, the four teams that worked so hard to get to New Orleans, that's not just something you build overnight. You know, that is a four-year process for our seniors. You know, my senior story, they came in, they were 13 and 17 their first year, and they built a team that was 25-4. Like, it was, you know, for them, it was an opportunity to seal a phenomenal, and all four of us, this is what I love about our conference, all four of us had an equal chance to win that title. And it would have been, I promise you, that would have been the most entertaining women's basketball conference Final Four there was in America, bar none. And I thought that it was very heartbreaking, because just like all the other teams, our student athletes put their heart and soul in building the program. They put their heart and soul to get to that point. They put everything they had to get to that point. And to, at that time, to not have answers, like, it took a very long time for me to even be able to talk about it without getting emotional. To not have answers at that time, we thought we'd be able to play maybe in April, maybe in May. We had no idea what was going to happen at that time. And so that was the hardest conversation to have. It's the hardest reality that we've had to swallow. And in sports, you're always taught to move on to the next play. Well, that was tough. That was tough for us. I you know, there were tears, there were screams, there were you know, there was a lot of emotion that, you know, at that time as a head coach, you have to be matter of fact most of the time. And, you know, you go up to the top and you weep for them, because they have given everything that they've had. And I know my coworkers and colleagues that were in the Final Four felt the exact same way, because we were all like, shoot, hey, let's go to a park and play. Like, everybody just, we all want to know what would have happened, because you have four quality, talented teams, competitive, who all just, like, God, it was, you know, it is what it is, you know. Go ahead, coach.
Yeah, you know, for us, it was, you know, we were playing, you know, we had played in the first two rounds of the tournament, and we're at Texas Arlington, and it's crazy, because in their visiting locker room, there's a television in there. And at halftime of our game, we were meeting as a staff in the coaches' locker room part. And on the television, I looked up there and I saw NBA canceled season, Rudy Gobert test positive. And I saw it and I was like, huh, that's interesting. And then just went back to, hey, what we need to do in the second half, because we were trailing. You know, we played really well and win the ball game. And now we're heading to New Orleans and you're in the stands and you're talking to families and everybody's okay. We'll see you guys in New Orleans. It's going great. And we get on the bus and we're headed from Dallas to New Orleans. And you know, everything starts kind of happening, you know, and you're following Twitter. Wait, well, the Big Ten just canceled the tournament. And you're just kind of watching, you know, and I get a phone call from our SWA, Jenny Friesman. She says, hey, it's going to be family only, you know, no fans, but family only. Start getting your players to get you a list of their family. Okay, all right. But then you see the Big 12, the Big East, and you're seeing like, okay, all right. And our players in the back of the bus, they have no idea really what's going on. And when I see the SEC pull it, I said, it's a matter of time, y'all. And, you know, probably, you know, 45 minutes after we had asked our players to start getting their family name to us, I get the call that, hey, the tournament's canceled. And I walk to the back of the bus, and I just try to have a conversation, but you can't. I mean, it's shade times, candy centers, you know. And I mean, Antoinette Lewis, hey, they are just balling. And there's no words you can say. You just sit next to them and hug them on the bus, and you just try, hey, listen, there's nothing I can say, you know. And you try to give them that time, And then I think we stopped off in Shreveport to stop and get something to eat. And, you know, it still hadn't really sunk in. They're like, okay, all right, you know, any different, anything different now? And it's no, this is it. And I know we got back to Mobile and we met with the team. We went in the team lounge about this time. You know, you got more information and you know, the season's over. And I remember seeing Candace Centers hug the bus driver because she's driven us every, you know, 4 years. Candace's been there. And they can't let go of each other. And it's like, wow, you know. And then so we come in, we bring the team in together, and we talk. I mean, those hugs with those seniors, I can still see them. I can still feel it to the day. And just felt so bad for them, you know. But it's like Coach said. We're always talking to our team about you got to play every day like it's the last time you're going to play. And it really happened. You know, it really happened. And so I hope the one thing we learn from it is you have to go out and practice and play every day like it's the last time, because you never know when and how it's going to be taken away from you.
Wow. Powerful stuff. You know, for obviously we were there in March and now we're here in middle of June, and a lot of the sports are starting back up, you know, from, you know, football is getting back going. In some states, they're still trying to fit in baseball for in high school levels. And for you guys, I mean, do you foresee, I mean, I'm sure that's something you wake up every day trying to have an answer to. But for you guys, I mean, do you think as coaches that you'll be on the hardwood, you know, come November, come, you know, late October for getting ready? And I mean, do you guys think that there will be basketball this coming year?
I think all of us want there to be basketball. I think all of us are very passionate about getting back on the hardwood. I think all of us also understand we are living something we have never experienced ever, and probably will never ever experience again in this lifetime. That's the best answer that I got. We want, our heart wants to be on that floor. And I know football is trying, but they're popping up case after case after case. You know, Texas just came out, they had 13 cases today that they found out about. And so, you know, I don't know. I don't know what that looks like. I want it to look like normal, but only God knows.
Yeah, you know, I'm optimistic. You know, I it's challenging times, but I'm optimistic that we're gonna have the opportunity. You know, you never know if the second wave is gonna come through or what's going on. It's just, we're in uncharted waters. I think it would be great, you know, to have a routine. Kids getting in a routine, they've been out of it. I think
they need
great for mental health.
Yes.
But this virus has got a mind of its own, and you know, we've got to all be good stewards, and we have a responsibility to try to slow this thing down, and that's the only way we're going to get to it, you know. And so I'm optimistic, but I'm also I'm cautiously optimistic.
Well, testing and, I mean, I guess I hate to say uncertainty, but between just the way that this process has played out, has it changed the way you coach? Has it changed anything about your approach to coaching in any way? We'll start with Coach Fowler this time.
Okay.
You know, I don't know. I just, you know, there's going to be different things about how you just go about your everyday. Bring the team together. You know, we get in a circle every day to start practice. Every practice is ended with a high five of every player. There's a connection. What does that look like? You know, before we even talk about getting on the floor and how the game is played, you know, closer than 6 feet. I mean, I don't know. I just think there's just so many things going to be different. You know, the pregame handshake between the two teams after the national anthem. I mean, it's just going to look different. And those are all things that they were starting to put in place in March. I mean, I remember being at the tournament and at UTA and, you know, elbowing with the officials instead of a handshake or whatever, and elbowing with the coaches, you know, as we met with each other and we really looked at each other. Do we really have to? It was weird. And I think now that's going to take a whole nother level. Before we even talking about your team, you know, I mean, just your day to day. Are you going to have access to your locker room?
Can we be in the locker room together?
Yeah, there's just questions that, you know, we don't know. You know, or are you going to have to coach in a mask? I don't know. There's just so much that, you know, coaching your team different and all that. Just your daily routines are going to be different.
Mm-hmm. I would love if Coach had to coach in a mask.
They don't listen to me anyway, so it'd be great. They'll probably buy me a couple.
I mean, it's really interesting. I mean, me and Thomas, we've done episodes on this before, really focused on football. But even as we talk before, we think about all the things that, you know, that might have to happen. And then as we're talking, we start thinking about more and more things, just like little daily things that you never thought about. And I mean, just as you were saying, handshakes, I mean, just a team huddle, like just stuff like that. I mean, it's like going down the rabbit hole, like Coach kind of said, of you just find all of these things. And that is the tough thing, I think, with sports in general, because it's such a contact, event. Thomas, did you have another?
Anything to add to that?
In terms of?
Just the way that you're approaching the game.
You know, I think Coach hit everything on the head when he talked about just what it will look like in practice terms. I think when it comes to, you know, recruiting and all of that stuff, I think those will change as well. Like, I'm sure for us that are at the mid-major level, our bosses are like, you guys are getting commitments and you sitting at home. can we keep this thing rolling? I just think that, you know, life as we knew it is going to be completely different. And so it's up to the innovators and what is that going to look like going forward? I think that, you know, all of us know and agree we crave athletics, like all of us. You don't realize how much sports. Listen, I love my Peloton. I'm a Peloton junkie, right? They had a 30-minute Peloton event on TV where like Don Staley and some other folks rode their bikes, and I was in it like it was game seven. I'm like, go, go, go. Sports is just so much of who we are and brings so much greatness to the world. And I know we'll talk about that stuff later that, you know, we're going to have to figure this out. And yes, there's going to be a lot of changes, but you know, the great Pat Summitt says, the only thing inevitable is change. Like, change is going to happen. And it's just those that are going to be able to adapt with those changes. So.
All of those accounts are, I mean, when I heard him talking about going to the back of the bus and just seeing girls break down, like that to me in the interview, I mean, I was an athlete growing up my entire life too, and never had to go through that, thank God. But like to just know that your entire, everything that you had worked for, and even at the time, you still had a little bit of hope that maybe, you know, in a month we'd get back and do it. And just, you didn't know at the time. And so you didn't know what was about to happen. And you talk about just pulling a heart out of an athlete right there, that everything they worked for completely out of their hands was taken away. And
especially for those seniors, I can't imagine that they absolutely, it took them, I'm sure, hours, if not days, to just come to grips with the fact that that's it. Their career's over. The game that they just played was the last one, and now they're not learning this for the first time.
Yeah. The way they both handled as coaches, and that's, I liked, you know, she showed, even she's like, I didn't know how to come to terms with it. I mean, I was a coach. I mean, I know they put all this time in. We all put time into it. And, it's tough. I think it's still going to be tough to get just sports going. I know basketball has a little bit more leeway than football. Football is the main talker right now. But still, I mean, it's going to, everyone is affected. And as we've done in episodes before, we thought of new things as we were like saying, how are we going to do this? And I think every day it's that process. And, but no, man, I just, that was tough. That was, I mean, cause just kind of hearing how they kind of put it, tough to hear and tough for those players. And now, you know, glad that the NCAA, well, actually basketball didn't get anything, right? Like, correct? Like,
I don't think so, because it was all summer sports.
Yeah, and they were in the fall.
Winter sports were just dead.
So they're not. So it just, man, that is one of the toughest things. And I mean, it's going to be something, unfortunately, they remember for the rest of their lives of a what could have been type deal. And no one ever likes that. So,
well, I was going to say, just going to transition into this, like we said at the beginning, this is a big episode. There's a lot of topics and a lot of little things to discuss. This is just part one. Later this weekend, we will have part two discussing institutional racism, police brutality, and the response to the death of George Floyd. It'll be a little bit bigger and it'll be a lot more in depth, but it's an important conversation we think we should have, just like this COVID-19 conversation was important. So we hope you'll stick with us and follow us on Twitter to find out when next episode will come out.
It'll also include the two guests that we had on tonight, and Coach Fowler and Coach Williams. So they, both of them, their point of view is what you and me both talked about, that we wanted, that we don't have that point of view. And so it's an incredible episode. Be sure to tune in, like us, follow us, this is an episode you will not want to miss. This is probably going to be one of my most proudest moments of just being able to talk and have a conversation with these people, and one of our best episodes that we've ever done. And so be sure to tune in. That will, like he said, coming up later on this weekend. But as for right now, thank you for listening to the Bench Boys, at Colin Cahill 13, at Thomas J. Gleaton, and just hit that subscribe button, man, because the next episode is going to be an amazing one.
Definitely come on back.